He's got the toys. He's got showmanship. And he's got sex appeal. Ladies and gentlemen, from the great Southwest, here's the guru of gadgets, the dapper and dashing Don Bain, the Gadget Professor. Gadget Professor.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Gadget Professor Show. My name is Don Bain, and I am the Gadget Professor, coming to you live and in color from sunny Scottsdale, Arizona. We have a great episode today. It's actually going to be part two of the Solar Energy Power Program. We are honored to have our featured guest, Mr. Jay Leopold, back. I twisted his arm, and he came back for a second interview, if you will. Interesting stories will be told for sure, and we're going to find out how maybe you can harness some of this free solar energy that's floating around in the sun. And Jay's an expert with this, and he'll be coming up in maybe 2 minutes or so. If you're new to the Gadget Professor, welcome. We come out every Thursday evening with a brand new edition, and it's simple to subscribe to the Gadget Professor. All you need to do is go to our webpage, thegadgetprofessor.com, and you'll see a kind of a brownish, orangish box. And if you count five down and you click on the Gadget Professor, that will guarantee you that every Thursday, as soon as that episode is uploaded and published, you will receive that automatically on your iPod, your iPad, anything that takes an RSS feed, MP3 player, MP4 player, iPod, Roku box. We have our own channel on the Roku, Google TV, Boxy Box. You can watch us on your browser if you like, a Linux system, you name it, we're out there. Anything that's glass, Gadget Professor's on there, including the Samsung TVs. Now, when you're on our website, you want to make sure that you subscribe to the show notes. The show notes will guarantee you that you're going to get all the information that we cover on a weekly basis right in your email box, and all those links are hot links, so you can just click on it and it will take you right to the topic that we were talking about. We also have a Facebook page, and again, as soon as the episode is posted, I produce that information on the Facebook page, and I also from time to time will put some specials that we have that really aren't put up on the website until the following Thursday. So tune in, and obviously you want to like the Gadget Professor. Everybody likes the Gadget Professor. And also, you definitely want to check out the Gadget Professor's products. From time to time, we're fortunate enough to be able to announce a new product and get some significant discounts. If you remember a while back, we had the Fix Me Stick, and that was 75% off the first 100 people who responded to that. So they saved a lot of money, and then that code is still up there, and you still can get, using Gadget Prof, you still can get 30% off the price of that Fix Me Stick, and that's a real cool piece of equipment. And if you haven't heard about the Fix Me Stick, you want to go back to the episode on the Fix Me Stick and learn all about that. And we were actually the first people to announce the Fix Me Stick to the world, really, and it was kind of a fun project, if you will. And last but not least, you can email me 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at thegadgetprofessor@gmail.com. I do answer all my email. We have solar flare-ups here, and we'll get that under control, but thegadgetprofessor@gmail.com, that will get you right into me. Follow me at Twitter at gadgetprofessor. Now that we got that all the way, let's take a look at some fun stuff. And the first item I'm going to talk about is FoxFi. As you know, I still have my Droid X, and I hate to tell you this, but I've had this for about 2 years. This is my fifth or sixth Droid X. The first two died natural deaths in the first month that I had it. The third one I dropped when I got out of the car and I was going to go on a hike. It was one of those things like, I can't believe I did that. I got out of the car and it dropped out of my pocket, and then when I went out of the car, I stepped on it and I cracked the glass. That was the third one. The fourth time I had it replaced, it went haywire. It wouldn't make phone calls, it wouldn't receive phone calls. So this is the fifth or sixth Droid X. It works great. I have no complaints about the Droid X. I've had it for 2 years. I think I'm going to go back to the iPhone. I'm ready for a new discounted phone from Verizon. And I just may. We'll see what the iPhone 5 has. I may go back to the iPhone. We'll see. But while I'm on the Droid, One of the things that this does, and it does really well, is you can make this a hotspot for free, as long as you have an unlimited data plan. Make sure you note that. But the software is called FoxFi. It's totally free. You install it on your Droid, and essentially what this does is it activates a Wi-Fi spot. You can have your own network name, your own password. It will work with Bluetooth, and it's very cool. I've used it for quite some time. I have no problems with it whatsoever, and I think you'll really like that app. Now, in conjunction with that app, you probably want to use another tool, which is called PDANet. And PDANet will, again, hook onto any Droid phone, and also you can put it on your PC. And what PDANet will do for you is, when I take the cord and go from my Droid into my PC and I put on the PDANet, when I'm in those expensive hotels and I'm too cheap to pay for the internet, I can use my service from Verizon, which I have unlimited data plan, and actually allow this to convey the internet to the computer so I don't have to pay for Wi-Fi. I can do that through the wire on PDANet, connected through a cable, or I can do it through Bluetooth. If you want to, let's say, let's say you have a Kindle Fire, and you want to get some type of connectivity by using the other piece of software, FoxFi, this will become a hotspot. And the interesting thing is that the PDANet links to FoxFi, so you can just click PDANet and say, make this a hotspot. It will automatically flip over and use the FoxFi. And they're both free apps, and I highly recommend them. One, because they both work well, and two, of course, because they're free. So check those out. Check those out. And I'm pretty sure that you also can use those on the Apple. You may have to do something to your phone, but we're not going to go there. But where we are going to go is to our honored featured guest, if we can get ready to beam Jay in. Jay, are you out there?
I don't know. Here I am.
Hey, welcome, welcome. Good to see you.
I'm back.
Yeah, so we've beamed Jay in, and
I've been in the ether for a whole week.
Yes,
I don't know.
Yeah, the containing tank, as we call it.
Yes.
Yeah, he's been in the standby mode. So
right.
Jay's kind enough to join us again, and we had some interesting feedback from our last Sky Power episode, if you will. And Jay's website is actually skypoweraz.com, and that will be in the show notes. And Jay is an expert, really an expert, on harnessing the power of the sun for energy. And last episode that we had on solar power, we talked a little bit about the basics as to you know, what's involved, what the cells look like, and actually we can take a quick look at that, Jay, on camera too.
Here you go. There's solar electric, not solar thermal, not solar hot water, solar photovoltaics, solar electric. This, by the way, see, there's no water pipes.
No water pipes. All right. Now, Jay, you had some rocks here the last time, and I didn't get a chance to show them, but they look like moon rocks. They're really cool.
This is an interesting thing. These little guys, if anybody saw Avatar, and I'm sure everybody did, you saw on his desk the floating unobtainium, and I noticed that unobtainium, it was this, and what this is pure silicon. This is what sand looks like if you take the impurities out of it and heat it into pure form. Then they are doped and they are doodled with until you end up with a solar cell. See, solar cell. And then you take a bunch of these and put them in a panel and you end up with a solar panel. You and I talked a little bit. It would be kind of fun to talk about do-it-yourself solar.
Yeah, I think our audience would be interested in, you know, maybe everybody doesn't live in a sunny place like Scottsdale, Arizona, or Arizona for that matter, because we know there's more sun here than anywhere else on the planet. That's what you told me.
More sun per person.
Per person.
More people.
Per
people hour sun, this is ground zero.
Okay, well, there's a lot of people that don't live here, but in any event, if you don't go total solar with your house, there are some types of do-it-yourself projects that I think would be very handy to know about and to harness the sun's power.
Right. There are YouTube videos, and if you type in do-it-yourself, DIY solar on YouTube, you'll see all these videos of these guys who are making solar panels. I happen to think they're idiots, but if you want to try and make a solar panel yourself, you know, let me go back to this thing. This thing consists of about $4 million worth of robotics, and you have parts and pieces that are very, very sophisticated. In theory, it's going to last 20 or 30 years, so it has to be sealed. Doing this yourself is extraordinarily difficult, but it can be done. Better as a do-it-yourself project is to buy the solar panels yourself.
Okay.
Buy them already made. Have Kyocera or Mitsubishi or whoever makes them, buy them
already. Are all the panels kind of sort of the same?
No, they are all sort of kind of different, and there are quality issues and power issues and other issues. You can study it all you want, or you can send me an email. I'll tell you what I happen to like the best that particular day.
So you don't mind if people drop you?
No, that's fine.
Mike, do you have Jay's email there? You can pop up.
Yeah, jay@skypoweraz.com. Email me if you want to talk solar. The concept is, and there are even some kits online that you can see.
Okay.
Where you would have, well, let me come back. In order to have useful power, the sun starts with this. It takes the light from the sun, not the heat, the light, and turns this into moving electrons, which is electricity. That is direct current.
Right.
That is usable by direct current refrigerators and other things, but it is not usable in your house. It's not usable by your computer, typically, because the computer has a little transformer that converts AC to DC. So you need AC power, so you're going to need to take the sun's energy and turn it back into AC power.
Right, the sun's energy, those cells are basically producing direct current, DC.
DC, battery power, light.
Right.
So you have an inverter, and you've seen these at the auto supply shop all the time, where you plug into the cigarette lighter,
right,
and it converts the car battery 12 volt into 120 volts that you can run a hairdryer. Fine. You can buy for about $1,800, $2,000, a kit that is a big solar panel, big one, with a little inverter, and you set it out in the sun, and you can plug in your hairdryer or your computer or whatever you want.
How many watts are those typically?
300 to 500 watts.
So you could run pretty much any computer.
You can't run an air conditioner.
Okay.
But you could run a computer.
You could run a TV for the most part.
Yeah, you could. You absolutely could.
Now, what about a refrigerator? Because let's just say that, you know, there's a power failure and you don't want your food to go south. So I would imagine you need a lot of amperage.
Yes.
To be able to run something.
Try those motors. Right. You can't run a pool motor. And the other thing is.
So is it practical to even think about having some type of emergency backup that's solar? If you live in Scranton, Pennsylvania, it's the middle of the winter. Solar cell, solar backup's not going to help you.
Not much. And by the way, solar works when the sun is out. If the power goes out, it probably went out because something happened. A storm is coming through, which is clouds. So to think of solar as a backup power source in today's technology is probably not the way to be thinking.
Interesting.
You don't have enough storage. Power is generated, and the power company has no storage. The power company is an on-demand supplier. They make the power 7 milliseconds before you use it. They don't have batteries. They have vats of coal and vats of oil or nuclear energy to then have future power, but the power that's made today is delivered and used instantaneously. Our nation doesn't have a storage mechanism. So if you're going to think about using solar as a backup source, the fact is the thing that made you go out is probably the thing that's going to keep you from having solar anyway. And by the way, half the day is night, and if it goes out at night, solar isn't going to do you any good.
Half the day is night. I got to think about that.
Yeah.
I used to have a friend who used to work part-time days for a couple nights, boxing orange crates down in Mississippi.
Half of the 24-hour day is night, and solar doesn't work.
Okay.
So the classic thing is, so a monsoon storm comes through or a dust storm comes through, and power goes out in Arizona, it's 4:30 at night, and your power's down, your solar panels wouldn't be working much anyway, because the sun's pretty well down. So that's not where it's at right now. However, some years down the road, when electric cars come into play, those batteries, which will be lithium ion or something better, can be used for storage to run your house.
So we're not there yet, but we're on the way?
It looks to me that way.
Now, let's get back to your solar energy kit, because that still has me interested in
that. So let's say you go out and you spend $2,000 and you buy what is essentially two solar panels, an inverter box, and a cart to carry it around.
Okay.
You then set this thing out in the sun, tilt it to the sun. It's always nice if it's pointing exactly to the sun. And up comes power. Let's say you're picnicking out in the desert or whatever it is you're doing.
Camping,
absolutely. RVing, whatever. That makes power. Perfectly great, perfectly the same power that you and I have all day long. And it is endless as long as the sun is shining. You could add car batteries, which is the new current technology. It's pretty lame, but you can add car batteries.
Are they car batteries? Is that what they actually are?
Yeah, they're big car batteries.
Okay.
Yeah, if you do a search on the web for solar battery systems,
okay,
you will see, typically it's a car battery so big, only they stack them in threes. So it's like a three-high car battery, and it weighs a gajillion pounds. And that then would hold enough power to run your house in emergency mode for maybe 5 or 6 hours. So you need 10 of them to run your, in that whole, you play that
whole. So certainly it's not practical if you're stuffing something in your backpack and you think you're going to have like a whole power plant in the back of that.
It is only practical for those guys who want to have an off-grid home. If you have a home up in the high country in Arizona, up in the mountains, you may not have access to the grid, in which case then you can have solar. You just have to make sure that you have enough panels to collect enough energy to charge the batteries and get you through to the next time the sun comes up.
Well, let's talk about RV, because we have a lot of people out there who watch The Gadget Professor and who also watch RVN with Andy McCaskey,
mm-hmm,
and a big audience out there for people who do a lot of RVing. What would be a practical application and a practical type of basic kit for an RV? I mean, that may seems to make sense to me.
Well, RV, if you have an RV, you most likely have DC appliances in the RV.
Correct.
The refrigerator in an RV, the TV in an RV, the video recorder, which we don't have anymore, and the computers are all DC appliances.
Right.
So you can run those straight off of solar panels because they don't require inversion and reconversion. So this solar panel creates, say, You buy smaller ones. You don't buy these big ones. You buy the smaller ones. So you buy a solar panel that will create a 24-volt system for you. Then you put them out in the sun while you're parked in wherever you are, and 24 volts comes down from the sky for free, and you power up everything you got. You probably want to have more panels than you need at full power so that you can charge up the batteries, because nighttime will fall and you're still going to want your beer cool.
So it makes sense in that case, if you have an RV, to have a couple batteries in the back and store the energy.
Yes, 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 yes. And the game is simple. Watts. The whole thing is about watts, or kilowatts, or watts. So you say, I'm going to burn through 5 kilowatt hours today of power using all the things I'm doing. Well, that's 5,000 watts. If you have a solar panel that is 100 watts, it will need to be in the sun for 50 hours that day to give you
50 hours a day, okay.
Right, which is a problem.
Right.
You don't have 50 hours a day, you only have 8. So you would then say, okay, 50 divided by 8, I need 6 panels.
I got you.
So you'd buy 6 panels, would give you your 5,000 watts, some of them you'd be using, most of it you'd be saving in the batteries, and you're good until the sun comes up the next day.
Have you ever designed those types of kits? Is that something you can do?
Sure, easy.
So,
and we can do it for houses. That's exactly the same concept,
I see,
whether it's for an RV or a house.
Now, let's talk a little bit about your website. You mentioned here that there is a page here or something that you thought would be interesting. I'll let you drive.
This one right here at the Sky Power eBook. This was put together by Anna Bryce, who's our marketing manager, and it is really fun. We produced over four. We still are doing. We have over 400 blogs on everything solar, from technical to all sorts of things, including one of my favorites, which is solar and rattlesnakes. Rattlesnakes love solar because the bunnies like the cool.
Ah.
So all of these solar fields you hear about going up in the Mojave Desert, what's happening is the bunnies go to the panels to stay cool. The rattlesnakes have figured that out. And there's a whole new ecosystem going on underneath those panels. So if you're hiking in the Mojave and you see a solar array, be careful if you decide to seek shelter.
Folks, you never know what you're going to hear or see on The Gadget Professor.
So this particular flip book, the e-book here, is 60 of our favorite blogs. And they're very fun and they're very interesting. And each one of them is basically one page. And it talks about the most important stuff that we think about solar. Net metering, the rattlesnakes. We've got a blog on grounding lugs and wire and all sorts of things.
Now, these are available free to the public.
It's free. Yeah, it's right there.
Well, I think that's something you definitely would want to take advantage of if you're interested in anything to do with solar. And again, that website, it will be in our show notes.
Go ahead and click on that second.
Click here?
Yeah. The flipbook does a fun and interesting thing.
Here, I'll let you drive.
This is a technology that was brought to us a year or so ago. And you'll notice if you click on the edge, the book opens up like a book. And this is, they were starting to create this an ebook, but it's basically a magazine. And this was the beginning of, this one. What would Superman do? This was the tsunami days. The tsunami is a real interesting problem because now Japan doesn't have any more nuclear. They turned them all off, which means that solar panels are becoming a little more dear because they're using them to power their country.
Uh-huh.
So we've written all these articles and they're fun and
what a great way to read. I mean, you can enlarge this. Right. Obviously, I zoomed it in for those people who need it a little bit larger. That's great.
Yeah. So this flipbook thing was done by a guy out in Chandler, and very, very interesting technology he's using. And basically, he has brought our blogs into a
nice
version.
Well, this is a tremendous resource, and again, if anybody has any questions on solar, I am not the expert, Jay is, and Jay has kindly offered his email address up, so if anybody wants to get in touch with Jay, it's jay@skypoweraz.com, and I assume he'll be happy to correspond and answer
any
questions.
We designed a project for a guy 400 miles north of the Canadian border, 250 miles from the nearest road. And he's using solar, and we had a laugh because he said, "Is there any sun up there?" He says, "Well, for a few minutes." And the solar panels were designed to be bear-proof because the bears like. So, you got a funny place or a funny idea? Let's have some fun with it.
That's great. Well, you definitely want to get in touch with Jay. I appreciate you very much.
No problem, Don.
Really joining us. It's
problem.
A lot of fun. Very interesting for me too. And I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Feel free to contact Jay at any point in time for solar energy questions. And I will see everybody next week, next Thursday, on The Gadget Professor. So long for now. Thank you for joining.
The Gadget Professor is produced by Don Bain,
Multimedia Communications, LLC.
If you would like your product reviewed on The Gadget Professor or would like to appear on The Gadget Professor, contact us via email at thegadgetprofessor@gmail.com. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, guests, call-in listeners, or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. And thank you for watching The Gadget Professor.